So I'd like to welcome our Director General, Roberto Acevedo. Roberto, thanks for coming. You have before you a group of researchers from the World Bank, the IMF, the WTO, and other interested parties from delegations and organizations around town. So thanks for coming, Roberto.
Yeah, well, I say I came just in time. So welcome, everyone. And let me wish you a very good morning and also a warm welcome to the WTO. And welcome you to this fourth annual trade workshop, which brings together, you know, researchers, economists from the WTO, World Bank, and the IMF. And I'd also like to extend my thanks to the presenters, the organizers, for making this event and this dialogue, I think, possible. This is something that helps us develop a more coherent, I think, approach in terms of policy making. So what you do here extends well beyond the reaches of the room and the WTO building. So as far as we see it, it's not only about better coherence about trade policies in different areas of the world. It is also about different types of policies and different policy areas across the globe as well. So I think that presenting ideas, documents, and sharing your views in forum such as this can create types of thinking which is completely unpredictable. So I hope, I really do, that you have a very fruitful day. There is, of course, a very wide range of trade-related issues that where I think further research can have a very positive role, increasing our understanding of the issues. And I would like to highlight maybe three areas that I think that are of particular interest of the work that we're developing here in the WTO. And I will throw also a few questions just to give you a little bit of food for thought as you develop your work here today. First, I would like to point to the relationship between trade and growth. So policymakers for quite some time, I say a few centuries, have held a very a strong belief that trade growth drives faster GDP and income growth. And that is for a number of factors, because of increased economic efficiency, higher inflows of foreign direct investment, greater availability of technology. There are a number of other things that I could be listing, but the idea is trade helps and leverages growth. And this belief led many countries to successfully adopt liberal trade policies. And we've seen many good results coming out of those policies. So how should we interpret and or understand the current slower trade growth? Now we see trade growth almost at a par with a global economic growth. So how do we interpret that? And that is something that we are pondering here in the WTO. So does it mean, for example, that the benefits of trade will be smaller now that trade is not growing as fast, and as a result that GDP growth will be lower? Or inversely, does it mean that GDP growth slows or is slowing the demand for tradable goods? Is it a mix of both? Some would say most likely it's a mix of both. But even more than that, maybe we could assess precisely whether this lower ratio between trade growth and GDP growth is now a more permanent feature of the global economy. What is causing it? Those are questions that we would like to have answered. Another one is, what are the implications of all of this for economic policy? So can we draw the same conclusions that we were drawing before? Are we facing a new paradigm This is an area clearly that would benefit from more detailed studies. I have myself argued that the change in trade growth is due to a mix of structural and cyclical factors. Also, in addition, I think that it is possible that we are not seeing the true picture because of our methods of measuring trade may need to be updated. I don't know. That's something for you to think about. So, for example, trade in software and services, which is extremely important and very relevant in these statistics, is not fully captured at all in our methods of gathering data. So growth in these areas is not truly reflected in the figures. And there is also the question of how to measure trading components. So should they be counted every time that they cross the border? So a component crosses the border, you count it. Or should the value that they add to the final product be captured only once? So I think it would be legitimate to argue that double counting doesn't accurately reflect the contribution that trade provides to global growth. So that, I think, is something also that we need to take a look into. So this is an area where we need, I think, to improve our analysis, or rather where you could improve this analysis. The second area that I would like to touch is trade finance. So up to 80% of global trade is supported by some form of financing or credit insurance. So despite this, in many countries, there is a lack of capacity in the financial sector to support trade, and also a lack of access to the international financial system. So the ability of these countries to use simple instruments, very simple and basic instruments, such as letters of credit, is very limited. So the impact of these limitations, these financial limitations on a country's trading potential can be very, very significant. So what measures can we take to address the gaps in trade financing that exist today? More than that, do we fully understand the links between trade finance and trade growth? So in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, trade growth fell off a cliff. It was pretty clear. And we understand many of the factors behind this. But we don't, for example, have a full picture of all the external sector spillover effects that this increasing interdependent world has. So this is another area where our organization should continue to work together, and I know that the WTO has a strong partnership with the IMF on this issue. So let's take a look into that. I suggest we take a look into that. That's something very important to us. The third one and the final one that I would like to touch upon is the role of trade in ending poverty. And this is the subject of a new report produced by the WTO together with the World Bank. In fact, Jim Kim and I will be launching the report here tomorrow morning. And the report argues that while trade has played a huge role in lifting people out of poverty in recent years, and 1 billion of them were taken out of poverty, there are some groups which often do not feel the full benefits of trade. And for example, and I'll list just a few, gender inequalities. That means that women face a range of constraints that limit their ability to participate in trade. The rural poor, so they are often isolated from markets, and they lack access to technologies that could boost their incomes, for example, like seeds, modern seeds, latest generations of fertilizers, and things like that. Also, in times of economic downturn, workers in the informal sector, and they are very, very numerous, particularly in developing countries, they often fall into poverty as they have no social safety net to catch them, none at all. And finally, more than 40% of the extreme poor live in fragile or conflict-affected areas. And so this creates yet another major hurdle for the poor to integrate themselves in the economy and to reap the benefits that trade can offer. So our joint report, that, like I said, we're issuing tomorrow, sets out a five-point plan to ensure that these groups can begin to feel the benefits of trade in a more significant way. And one of those 5 points is that we need better data. Enhanced collection of data and analysis will definitely help policymakers design and implement effective policies for maximizing the gains from trade. So again, this is an issue in which we need to apply the tremendous amount of brain power that we see in this room. So, of course, there are many, many other topics where interesting, useful work could and needs to be done. Those are just three examples. But perhaps the issue of trade and poverty is a good one to finish with, because I think it is vital that researchers make their efforts relevant and accessible. Of course, I could just as easily have picked the work on trade and skills that we are developing with the ILO. There are a number of other examples of very relevant topics. And, of course, in a world that is increasingly interconnected and complex, and when growth is truly in short supply, good research is more important to influence policies. And if it is to have this kind of positive impact, then I think it has to be set in the wider global economic context, and it has to be presented in a way that allows policymakers to engage. I think that's the biggest challenge we have, is how to get the outcome of your research onto the policy makers' table. Our three organizations have a role in this, a very important role in this, and we are dedicated to creating a stronger and more stable global economy so that people around the world can lead better lives. We can't do that without your research and the ideas and the evidence that you provide. We cannot do it without the policymakers knowing about and getting interested in your research. So I will, as far as I am concerned and the WTO is concerned, we'll do our best to make sure that that link is established, that it is there. But we need the first step of the link, which is you. So we definitely hope that you will have a good work session. I hope the WTO treats you well. We arrange the weather so that you can enjoy Geneva when you're not in the room. But don't enjoy it too much. We need your time and attention to make all these interesting policy questions be deepened and better understood. So thank you very much. Good work for everyone.